So a few years back, the town of Okotoks created an ad campaign to promote the town of Okotoks. And they put a number of ads on buses in Calgary and bus shelters and in the surrounding area just to promote what goes on in Okotoks. And the slogan for that ad campaign says, "There are a number of things to do in Okotoks. There are a number of things to do in Okotoks." It seemed a little bit silly at the time because people started taking pictures of the signs on the bus and posting them to their social media accounts and poking fun at this slogan. However, people started to look up Okotoks. Where is Okotoks and what is there to do in Okotoks? And they would find other websites that were, Okotoks says was planned, they planned for this campaign, that said, when you got there, these are the number of things you can do in Okotoks. It turned out, in the end, to be a very brilliant campaign. And in fact, it ended up winning awards for the campaign. In our scripture today, our prophet Micah is speaking to the people of Israel, and in particular, he's speaking to the corrupt leaders of Israel who are oppressing the poor and taking advantage of the poor for the sake of building estates and empire. And what he says in this scripture is, there are a number of things you can do for God. And then he lists them. You could come before God with burnt offerings, or you could come with a yearling calf, make a sacrifice to God. You could come with 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of oil. You could even bring your firstborn child to make up for all of the sins of your soul. There are a number of things you could do to impress God. Yet this is not what God requires of you. God has told you, Micah says, what God desires. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. All of your grand gestures and public displays of wealth will do nothing for God. They will win you no awards. There are a number of things to do for God, but what God wants from you is this: do right by others, treat them fairly, and do it willingly and humbly with no fanfare. We speak a lot about justice in the United Church. In fact, we pride ourselves in our attempts to not only promote social justice, but to do it. Yet, we so rarely define what social justice is or dig into what it means to actually do justice. So what I want to do for just a few minutes this morning is try to give us an idea of what social justice is, how we might go about even doing it. So it's a little bit of an unusual way, but I hope it might help you to understand a little bit more. Anybody know what this is? A yardstick, yeah? Some people call it a yardstick. In this case, a meter stick. We still call it a yardstick. And it does have inches on the back, but we're going to use a meter side. There are 100 centimeters in a meter. So this is a meter stick. And I want you to imagine for a moment that all of humanity is on this spectrum, this continuum of this yardstick. All of humanity sits here. All races, all sexes, all religions, poor and rich people, young and old people, all genders and sexual orientations, everybody in the world, all human beings are represented on this continuum. Okay? On the way I'm holding it here on the horizontal, it may look like all people are equal on this continuum. But that's not how the world works. It works like this. Right? Some people down here and some people here and here and here, all the way up. Now, I had to figure out how to do this today. I'm going to just stick this in here to hold it up. Okay. So let's assume that there is on this hierarchy a place where we all agree is the minimum resources, that is needed. Let's put it about here. For people to live healthy and whole in this world. So this would be the minimum that people need to live well in the world, right here, okay? And let's imagine for a moment that if people had this much of whatever they needed of this criteria, they would have the opportunity to live well in the world, to be whole. They would have at least enough to do what they needed to do, to experience wholeness and health, which doesn't mean that given the opportunity, everyone will live well. It's just that they have access to what they need. They're given the same opportunities as everyone else to make the most of. Yet we can see, even from this continuum, that a lot of people fall below this line. Right? There are a lot of people groups and a lot of people who fall below the line of having what they need to live well in this world. They don't have enough of something. They are lacking access. And they need some help to reach this line. That, in a nutshell, is what doing social justice does. It helps to bring people to the place where they have enough to live well. And yet, many people don't. So what do they need access to, then? Because not everybody needs the same access to the same things. There are broadly three categories where people will need something to help them to get to the minimum of what they need. Some people need access to resources that will meet their physical needs. And what are those things? What do people need to meet their physical needs? Food, shelter, water, clean drinking water. Anything else? Sorry? Prayer. Yeah, work is gonna fall in here, not quite in this area, but what will meet our physical needs is food, shelter, water, health care, clothes, medicine. This is what we need. And there will be people who need those things to meet the minimum standard, right? There's another category where people will need the means to meet their economic needs. And what is that? What do they need to meet their economic needs? You're going to have to speak up. I heard work. Need some kind of financial resources, yes? Sorry? Education and jobs. Yep. Education and jobs. transportation. And some will need pensions or social safety nets that will serve them in old age, right? And there will be others who will need a lifelong source of income because of their inability to support themselves. That's economic. There is one other group of people's, or one other area of need that people have in order to meet the minimum. And that is people who need social or emotional needs met. Can anybody guess what those resources might be? Friends. Yeah, we need a social network, a community, somebody who will help us when we're in need. Of course, we all need all of these things. But all the people above here have most of those, access to most of those resources. Many of the people below here don't have access to those same resources. Need friends, community. What else do we need? Freedom from hatred or discrimination. Delivery from oppression, which might be political or something else, including war. Some people need to get away from abusive relationships. Some people need mental health resources or addiction resources. Those are some of the things that are needed by a certain group of people who need social and emotional safety. So as you can see, when it comes to social justice, not one size fits all, because not all needs are the same. And some of the groups that reside in this area face multiple complicated issues and fit more than one of the categories. They need more than just physical needs met or social needs met or economic needs met. For example, people who are struggling with poverty or racism or serious mental health issues, or some who do not have physical abilities. Does everyone need to have an equal or the same amount to get by? No. We all have different needs, and everyone on the continuum has different needs, and every group has different needs, and it's not about equality, it's about equity. It's about access to resources. Social justice, simplified, and it is complicated, is making sure that everyone has access to at least this much. Simply put. Okay? And it's not the same. Social justice is not the same as giving things to people to meet their immediate needs. Of course, we need those things. But it's in creating an environment in our societies where people can access for themselves whatever they need to be well. When access to power and resources becomes intrinsic to any oppressed group of people, they can then make their own way. This is the difference between charity and justice. Charity is easy. We give from our pockets, from our pantries, from our time. Social justice is far harder work, for it is creating and changing new systems in our world. Charity is easy, and it makes us feel good. Yet justice is what ensures that people no longer need the kind of assistance that we continue to offer, and it doesn't make a lot of change. Are there people who are in, some people get out of this system and move up here? Yeah, of course there are, for sure. But often the fact that we have to point these people out, that they got out of a system of poverty or whatever they've been able to do, the fact that we even point that out means that they're often the exception rather than the rule. In general, the majority of groups below the line don't have access to one or more of the basics that would put them at the line where they can be simply taken off the list from down here. Those above the minimum line are the most privileged in any society, and they have a responsibility to use their privilege, their power and resources to help those who are below the line to move up to the very minimum. At the least. And it requires sacrifice. Because often people do not want to give up what they have because they are afraid they will move down the continuum. And that's simply not true. The more we help people move up, the more all of us will benefit. The healthier a society is, the healthier all people are. The people below the line also have a responsibility. They need to use their own, whatever agency they have, and it may be very little, but they have to band together to figure out what they need and then bring their concerns and voices to the table. They're often the ones who have the solutions to their own needs. And those who have power and resources and agency need to listen and offer what they can to help these groups succeed. Come alongside them to amplify those voices, not silence them. I frequently hear people complain about movements that are taking place in the world today. Why do we need Black Lives Matter or the Me Too movement or Every Child Matters or Pride parades? Most of it's usually people at the top asking those questions. Perhaps because they don't want to be challenged or they feel guilty or even threatened in some way, even angry. These movements are important because it is the people below the line and their allies finally saying to the powers that they do not yet have what they need to be well and to be whole and to be heard in our societies. There is work to be done. These movements come about because people have finally had enough of the injustice in the world. And most of the changes that come about in our societies come about because of some of these movements. Every woman in this room today is able to vote because of the suffrage movement. The abolitionist or anti-slavery movement moved the needle ahead on behalf of Africans. Black Africans. There's still a lot of work to be done here. But these movements are important. And rather than complain about them, we need to recognize why they exist and listen to what is being said and then use whatever influence and resources we have to magnify these voices until people have what they need to thrive in the world. When we try to silence these voices, we are saying, we don't care. And we are doing a great injustice. The opposite of what the prophet Micah told the people to do. There are a number of things we can do for God. But what does the Lord require of you and of me? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. We are the hands and feet, the ears and the voices of God in the world today. Love and compassion are our nature, and justice is our calling. Doing justice will create a better world for all of us. a world that cares for the least and the lost until they have hope and help to move beyond their leastness and their lostness. A world where all can bring their best to the table and create new possibilities for all of us. What a responsibility, and what a privilege. I'm going to invite us now to just take a moment to reflect on Micah's call to the people of privilege to do